welcome to the show. 8/10 of rain in Loralee, Saskatchewan. One of the texts that came in this morning, we are just doing a quick province-wide rain gauge check this morning because, no, it didn't rain everywhere last night, but it did dump in a couple of spots. In fact, reports of hail in the Regina area last night. And if you want to share what your rain gauge says, give us a text, 1-877-332-8255. Okay, phone lines and text lines are officially open. We can talk about a variety of things. I am watching unfold as we speak the appointments to the federal cabinet positions. This is Mark Carney's new cabinet. We know a few things about it. The cabinet had grown to 40 positions under Justin Trudeau. We had heard this would be a streamlined cabinet of 30 spots or less. There will be some what they're calling Secretary of State spots. So these are specific portfolios within each cabinet position. So if you had, for example, Minister of Justice, there could be a Secretary of State who would be an official appointed within that ministry to do some specific project work. This is not unheard of. It's been done multiple times over the years. I mentioned earlier, Paul Martin did it. I know Prime Minister Harper had Secretaries of State in his cabinet as well. What I'm watching for this morning, and I think what a lot of people are watching for, is this is really an opportunity for the Prime Minister to show how he's distancing himself from the former Liberal government, right? This is, he will forever be compared and contrasted with what Justin Trudeau did. And one way to provide a bit of separation is to appoint a different group of leaders for your main advisors, for your cabinet positions. And so there's a few people, you know, there's going to be crossover. There's no way they're not going to put someone like a Dominic LeBlanc into an important spot, being as he's been a trusted advisor for a long time. So he got the Canada-US trade, the intergovernmental affairs portfolio. He's also been appointed the president of the Privy Council. All eyes were on a couple of people, and one of them was Stephen Guilbeault, because Stephen Guilbeault is a lightning rod for the Liberals. Certainly in Western Canada, he is a lightning rod. Even amongst Liberal supporters, I've talked to a couple in the last week that have said Mark Carney would be well advised to keep Stephen Guilbeault out of his cabinet. He's a lightning rod. He attracts attention. He's climate crazed. He's an anti-oil activist. And this has been well known long before, of course, this morning in these cabinet appointments. Stephen Guilbeault was just appointed the Minister of Canadian Identity and Culture. My question is, do the federal cabinet positions, there's lots of times, let's just be really honest with each other, and I'll be honest with myself. There are a lot of times that new governments appoint cabinet positions, and I pay very little attention to it, right? They're of little consequence. Maybe you focus in on a particular, who's going to be the justice minister, who's going to be the health minister, those types of things. But there are a lot of times that it just kind of skates by and you don't really pay attention. I would suggest we have a lot of eyes trained on Ottawa right now, Rideau Hall, where these appointments are happening, just to see what is this going to tell us. Does it show us a government that has departed from the old Liberal government and striking a new course? Maybe here's another question. Maybe I'll ask it this way. If you see a large number of the same, like Gary Anand de Sangaree, who has been on this program many times, is just being sworn in as we speak. So there are a lot of people who are repeating in maybe a different portfolio, but still retaining a cabinet position. Is it possible that under a new leader, they will take on a bit of a new focus and a new identity? Is that possible? Or if you have a new coach behind the bench, but all the same players on the bench, just some forwards playing defense and defensemen in goal, does it change things enough that you're going to be able to see a renewed focus on different priorities, or is it the same old, same old? 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Are you encouraged by what you're... So Dominic LeBlanc has been appointed, as said, Canadian Minister of Canadian-U.S. Trade and Intergovernmental Affairs. Melanie Joly, Minister of Industry. François-Philippe Champagne, Minister of Finance. Anita Anand, Foreign Affairs. Patty Hajdu, Minister of Jobs and Families. Stephen Guibeau, Ministry of Canadian Identity and Culture. That's going to be a big one for some people, for sure. Chrystia Freeland, Minister of Transport and Internal Trade. That's actually a pretty important position as well. 1-877-332-8255. I'm happy to hear from you. Your thoughts, I realize it's early, but the reaction on the recycling of some ministers, would he have been better to keep Stephen Guibeau out? Or am I being too hard on Guibeau? Am I being unreasonable when I say he's become a lightning rod for the Liberal government, certainly in Western Canada, and they would have been better to keep him out? We know they didn't. He's the minister of all things Canadian identity and culture. Would they have been better to leave him off the bench? 1-877-332-8255. I would like to hear from you. Let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ken. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, Murray Wood's commentary yesterday, and I'd just like to talk about how he described Prime Minister Aaron O'Toole.
Okay.
You know, because that's exactly who he described. He's not a big fan of Poilievre. He talked about how Poilievre was way too confrontational, way too far to the right. He had to moderate in order to be able to win the middle. He said all of the things that had the Conservatives have Aaron O'Toole as the leader. And
you know,
so he must have been prime minister, right? He must have won. Sorry, that doesn't win. Liberal light doesn't win. One of the big problems that we have in the structure of Canada is how the East dominates, and the fact that, as a matter of fact, I think Trudeau once said this in French in Quebec about how it's Quebec that owns Canada and that it's against Western values. Well, you know, things like independence and, you know, self-reliance, that type of thing. So you don't get rid of Poilievre, because what happens is he did increase the vote, and he is on using conservative arguments. As a matter of fact, you even know he has conservative arguments, because what happens is Carney faked using conservative policies in the election. I don't think he's going to stay there. And Guibeau, what does Guibeau know about Canadian
culture and identity? Yeah.
I can hardly wait until he gets asked about it to define a Canadian identity. It'll be like asking them how to define a woman.
I feel as though that was, I think that was, I feel like appointment number 5 of all the appointments that are made this morning. And I'm shaking my head. I'm shaking my head at that one. Thanks for calling in, Ken. 1-877-332-8255. I'm not the only one shaking my head. I know Brian Zinchuk, who joins the show regularly, editor and owner of PipelineOnline.ca, joins me by phone. An unexpected call. What brings you to the station this morning, Brian?
Well, I heard you talking about a lightning rod from Quebec, and I tell you, I was talking to some people about that yesterday on the podcast. And, you know, there's 2 cabinet ministers that anyone in the energy industry thought had to go. One was Jonathan Wilkinson, and the other one was Stephen Guibeau. And Wilkinson is gone, but the fact that Guibeau is still around, you know, he may be still around, but he's also very much neutered in that he's not in anything related to energy or environment. I mean, culture is basically, he's the minister of CBC. And if that's our culture, the CBC is our culture, well, we have our other problems, but the reality is that If he's away from the energy file, thank God.
Well, I mean, away from the energy file, but still in all of the important meetings, still part of cabinet, still part of decision making, strategic planning, direction setting. And to me, I know people are calling me out already. I'm seeing texts on the text line saying, Evan, you're being unreasonable. I don't think I am. I think Guibeau should have been kept out. I think Mark Carney's message would have been read loud and clear had that happened.
Yeah, I entirely agree with that. I think the only reason he kept him is because he is important in Quebec. But other than that, I think he should have gone.
Well, Brian, always appreciate even an unexpected visit like this one. What's it like down in the Estevan area right now?
It was beautiful right now. Just on the road here to Regina. Beautiful yesterday, but I guess we're getting some rain, so I might change my weekend plans.
It's all right. We need the rain. We'll take the rain. Brian, thanks so much for calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. The federal cabinet appointments are rolling out right now. Do these appointments tell us something about Mark Carney? We'll digest it a bit more. And don't forget, we've got Stephanie Taylor, who is the federal political reporter for the National Post, joining us a little bit later this morning here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, good morning and thanks so much for joining the show today. We are chatting right now as we speak. The federal cabinet positions are being appointed. This is Mark Carney's new cabinet. We know it is going to be slimmed down from the cabinet that Justin Trudeau had. He had 40 members in cabinet. This will be about a 30-person or just under 30-person cabinet with a number of secretaries. Although not all formal appointments have been done at Rideau Hall, there is a list that is circulating, and it looks as if Saskatchewan's Buckley Belanger, who is the only Liberal MP from Saskatchewan, from Desnethy, Missinippi, Churchill River, will be put into a Secretary of State portfolio on rural development. So the Secretaries of State, they are basically, they fall underneath one of the ministries, and they usually will have a specific portfolio or an area that they will work on. So, you know, there's some speculation, would Buckley Belanger get into an actual cabinet position? It's looking like it will be one of the secretaries of state positions. So as these unfold, and we are seeing now Rebecca Chartrand, for example, a minister of Northern and Arctic Affairs, being sworn in, we're seeing a number of names. Some of them, maybe not surprising that you see them come back. Dominic LeBlanc, for example, Intergovernmental Affairs, Canadian-U.S. Trade. He's the president of the Privy Council. That's a position I'm guessing you would see. Melanie Joly, who has been on this program already a couple of times, Minister of Industry. François-Philippe Champagne will be the Minister of Finance. Some of these, maybe not surprising. I don't think anyone expected it would be a complete departure from the list of ministers under the previous Liberal government. There are, however, some people that are, I think, were being watched a little more closely to see whether or not they make it in. And Stephen Guibeau is one of those for sure. Now, some people are texting saying, Evan, you're making too big of a deal of this. As long as he's not in the environmental position, who cares? Stephen Guibeau appointed the Minister of Canadian Identity and Culture. I actually don't know what that means. And I know I'm seeing lots of people on the text line saying he might as well be appointed the Minister of Silly Walks. What does that mean? Are you with me or are you against me on this one? Would it have been a symbolic gesture by Mark Carney to the West? Does he even know? Maybe we should ask that question. Does Mark Carney even know why the West would not be jumping up and down and seeing Stephen Guibeau back in cabinet? Is that a possibility? 1-877-332-8255. Go back to the phone lines. Oh, I lost the caller. Okay, let's go to Terry. Buffalo Pound Lake. Hi, Terry. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on the chat about the cabinet appointments this morning.
Hey, Evan. Well, that goofy title they gave Diebold, to me, that should speak for Minister of setting up the next phase of the Liberal slush fund. And I guarantee you that Quebec's going to get the lion's share of all the culture money.
Well, I mean, there's, I know Brian was calling in earlier saying CBC would fall underneath that portfolio. What I'll have to do some checking to see what fall. I've never really paid attention to the Ministry of Canadian Identity and Culture before, but we'll have to take a look at it. Let's bring James onto the call. James, thanks so much for calling in from Saskatoon. Your thoughts? We're seeing the new cabinet rollout.
So just as a point of reference, Kevin Waugh was a secretary in the Ministry of Heritage at one time on the shadow cabinet.
Okay.
So to put some context, it usually does have something to do with communications, items such as that, right? So anyways, when I look at this list, I think it's not bad, right? Because I think that the prudency obviously went with the idea of making Philippe Champagne Minister of Finance, because there were others that had maybe more direct experience working with Goldman Sachs and items such as that, that probably could have worked more hand in glove with Mark Carney. But then when you see that there's a prudency to having political experience as well. So I think that was pretty smart. To me, Tim Hodgson as Minister of Energy, I think is pretty consequential. And then I do also have to say that having, once again, Chrystia Freeland as Minister of Transportation and Internal Trade is very significant.
Why do you say that?
I think she becomes the linchpin of how we open up resource corridors.
Do you have faith that Chrystia Freeland will be someone who could work with the provinces?
Definitely. Yeah. I believe. So Chrystia Freeland gets kind of a bad rap in the conservative circles. And there's times where she struggles with part of that communications track. But I think she does have the intellectual capacity to understand the nuance of what her role would be. And it is actually, as I would understand it, that the desire to open up a resource corridor is very front and center with them, right? Yes. And so in that, there's a hypothesis out there and about trying to use a pre-existing easement from an old right-of-way from the Grand Trunk Railroad. And that there it ends up having the capacity to allow this government to not have to defend itself against the other forward claims, if you will.
Right.
But there's an easement out there, right? And that's why having her, who would understand the intricacies of that aspect. I think the other thing is we also see that there's a new minister or we get some of the older names from like David McGuinty. And David McGuinty is now National Defense.
Right, Minister of National Defense, yeah.
And I think that's pretty good too because, I think a lot of us, and Stephen McKinnon also, new House Leader. I think those are all pretty, we have people that had previous experience, and we'll have to see where this goes.